never rests. TGIM. Thank God it's Monday. It's the Georgia Show back here with you. Jake Roos and Jake Rowe joining you tonight here. Kind of an unexpected Georgia Show. We don't typically do Mondays, but we've had several hiccups along the way over the course of the last week. Jake Rowe, you took a little time off. You didn't give me the new password to log on. So there were some hiccups. We've got the kinks worked out now, though. And so we're back with it. And as always, we're brought to you by American Pride Bank, our good friends and great partners in the banking world. If you're looking for solutions localized that fit you and fit your business, get with American Pride Bank. They offer a number of services, whether it's small business loans, whether it's personal banking, et cetera, et cetera. They are here to meet your banking needs. American Pride Bank has branches in Athens, Alpharetta. You can always get them online at AmericanPride.bank as well. They are member FDIC and an equal opportunity lender. Go over and check out American Pride Bank. Jake Rowe, it's here. It really is. It's hard to believe. It feels like the summer kind of blew by, to be honest with you. Georgia is set to begin preseason camp this week, and the Dogs will get everything kicked off on Thursday, right? July the 31st.
That's right. Yeah. Started off with media day, and they'll be full blown. It'll start with 2 days of helmets only practices, acclimation period. What you hear out of those 2 days, you take with a grain of salt. Obviously, I think we'll probably have some sort of report there for you, some photos, get to see some biceps. Some triceps, who's put on a little weight, all that stuff, who's taken some weight off. But don't really start putting a lot of stock in it until the shoulder pads come on. And that's the big thing. And I love preseason camp. Like, spring is what it is, and it's a kind of a football fix, where it falls in the calendar. But preseason camp's my jam. It always has been. It's where Mark Richt yelled at me, all of this stuff. I will say this, though. Back when Rick used to be at Georgia, the players weren't the only ones who had to go through preseason camp. The media did, too, because it was every day.
Yes.
I remember that so well. And it was just like you were out there, and it seemed like it was a different time every day, and you would go – watch 15 minutes of practice, and you'd come back in and put your photos up and write your practice report up. And then like a half dozen dudes after practice would come up and talk. And, you're in there grabbing video and you're trying to, figure out some angles to write stuff. And by the time it was over, you were tired of writing. You were exhausted from just sitting up there what felt like all day, all the time. Oh, yeah. And it was just something. But now it's a lot more laid back. We'll get a few days here. We usually end up with like 1-2 days a week of Kirby and players, and it slowed down, significantly. But I do love preseason camp a lot. It's a lot of fun. You get a lot of information out of it, some scrimmages. And, once preseason camp gets here, it's almost like reaching the city limits when you're driving home from a long distance. It's almost like or the county line. It's coming. It's there. You can kind of track how far you are away at that point, and season's upon us.
This is an interesting one to me. I think this is one of the more interesting preseason camps we've had under Kirby Smart, because there's a lot of unknown, I feel. Gunnar Stockton, new quarterback, obviously that's always going to create intrigue, a guy leading the way. You're replacing four guys on the offensive front. That's huge. And I think some people are probably pretty happy about that, given how last year played itself out. But, hey, you never know, right? Some key pieces to replace defensively as well. So there's a lot of newness to this team, I think. You've got some stalwarts, some old holdovers, guys with expectations around them that showed it last year. I think Nate Frazier and KJ Bolden are two guys coming into sophomore season that people are expecting really, really big things out of. But, there's a lot of unknown. Do you feel that way as well?
Especially a lot of unknown for there not to be a lot of position battles.
Right.
Because you talked about the O-line, right? Four of those five positions are pretty much settled. You know, like you four of those, you know, you're going to have Monroe Freeling at left tackle. You're going to have Ernest Green at right tackle. You're going to have Micah Morris at left guard, and you're going to have Drew Bobo at center. Right guard's still a little bit up in the air. They're still looking for some depth there. But one of the funniest things about that O-line thing is you – so let me unpack this for a second. Texas is supposed to be this juggernaut, right? Because they got Arch Manning coming. And Arch Manning's super talented. I'm not saying he's not, and I think he's going to be a really good player for him, and I think Texas is going to be really good. But then people are like, well, Georgia has to replace four or five starters on the O-line. Brother, those four of those guys that are going to replace those four guys have played a lot more football than Arch Manning has.
Sure.
And you know, just inexperienced offensive line. No, that's not the case at Georgia. Monroe Freeling's played a lot of meaningful football. Ernest Green's played a lot of meaningful football. Drew Bobo's got a couple of starts under his belt at this point. Micah Morris has played a lot of meaningful football. They've got a really veteran group coming back for one that everybody paints as maybe this new look offensive line. And I've always just kind of thought it was funny that, you know, people pick and choose who's going to be, you know, who's stepping up, who's coming back. And how much it matters. And, you know, listen, I know that offensive line last year underperformed. And there aren't very many people, I don't think, that are happy that Georgia's having to replace that much. I think you kind of should be, because for whatever reason, and I'm not saying Dylan Fairchild and Tate Ratledge and Xavier Truss and Jared Wilson weren't good players. They didn't get it done last year. And then a lot of it was because like six or seven of Georgia's best offensive linemen, When you start getting to the number 8, 9, 10 offensive linemen that are healthy for the entire year, you're in trouble. And but my contention there as well is I saw that the group that they had, no matter how healthy or not healthy they were, I saw them play better for stretches than they did most of the season. So they should have played better because they could have played better. And that's kind of where you go with that. But, you know, I think Georgia, you know, has got a lot of experience coming back on the O-line. I'm actually more interested in kind of the D-line and, you know, who steps up, because they got a big group of sophomores coming back. No, not necessarily sophomores, but second-year players. So which one of those second-year players are coming back? Where does Josh Horton fit in? Where does Elijah Griffin fit in? Because, you know, we're talking a guy that's got a lot of praise, number one D-lineman in the country, number one D-lineman in the country last year. You look back to the 2021 class, and this has been something I've talked about many, many times over the past year. You look not 21 class, but the 2021 defensive line. Georgia's got twice as many elite prospects on paper as that group had. And then to me, I think, you know, Trey Scott is kind of not really questionable when it comes to getting the best out of his group. That's a group that I have some pretty high expectations for.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that that's well-founded. I think that a lot of people, too, are going to be looking into that inside linebacker job. You know, is it Raylan Wilson? Does it Justin Williams? Where does Chris Cole factor into this whole thing? Obviously, you're not going to get out of this camp without people talking at length about where does Ellis Robinson fit into the cornerback discussion. Same thing with DeMello Jones, too. And I caution people from, you know, missing out on his name. At various times, we've heard he may even have kind of the lead on things. And then that second safety position is going to be quite interesting as well. You've got Ja'Cory Thomas, who I'd say is the odds-on favorite there, but they brought in a lot of really experienced guys this offseason via the transfer portal. And I think that that's going to be a really, really cool battle to kind of watch itself play out, because they've got a lot of availability there. You know, the star position be another one too. You know, I think that how does that play itself out? Running back, I'm interested in, you know, who's behind Nate Frazier? Is it McCray? I would assume so. Where does Roderick Robinson fit into this?
I think Roderick Robinson's got the leg up there, because there's a lot of terminology. There's a lot of, you know, intricacies in the offense, pass protection, route running, option stuff, you know, just in terms of you know, reads. And, you know, I don't want to get like try to get in the weeds, right? Like I understand all of it here. But, you know, sometimes a running back is – you know, hey, you're reading a side or you're reading a guy, and if that guy comes, you got to stand and block him. If he doesn't, you release. And, you know, those are types of things that kind of give to me Roderick Robinson, with all of the time he spent within this offense, all of the time he spent playing football with these players that you know that Georgia's got, that you know the reps with Gunnar Stockton, with the reserves and stuff like that. Really, it's just going to come down to who stays healthy. And that's a big thing. Like, how are injuries going to impact preseason camp and impact the running back position? Because, you know, Josh McCray, yeah, he comes in and he had a healthy season last year, but the first few years of his career were very similar to what Roderick Robinson's dealt with from an injury standpoint. You know, and I'm very interested in running back as well. Bo Walker is also going to be a factor there. Whereas Chauncey Bowen's coming after a great spring game. And that safety position, you're spot on there. I mean, you know, Zion Branch is, you know, arguably the most talented guy in that room. Ja'Cory Thomas is the most experienced guy in that room in this defense. Where does Adrian Maddox fit? I don't think Jaden Harris is quite there in terms of being a real big time competitor for either one of those spots.
I kind of see him more probably fitting into the star. Maybe
I do too. And I think Adrian Maddox is going to be involved in that star position battle as well.
Ooh, that's a long guy to have at star.
Yeah. I mean, he's Georgia. He was listed as 6'3" as a recruit. Georgia got him at 6'1". So, you know, who
knows? Yeah. Look, we're going through all of them, right? I mean, but the wide receiver position is going to be interesting to watch as well, given how big that wide receiver class was that they brought in the offseason. Oh, yeah, plus they got Zach Branch there as well. So and Noah Thomas.
Yeah, two transfers.
Yeah, I mean, they've got two really touted guys there, plus an incredible group of freshmen that have come in. That one, to me, is going to be very interesting to watch in terms of just – who's able to kind of find themselves on top of that heap. I think that, Colby Young's coming back with something to prove this year, probably a little chip on his shoulder after missing last year. So it's a very, very interesting offseason for Georgia. Like you said, a lot of these things feel settled to some degree, but we haven't seen all the pieces work together either. That's the thing, is like you've seen various chunks of it at various times, but how does it all kind of convalesce? I think that that's going to be very interesting in this one.
So to-do list, I wanted to talk about this. I usually kind of write this story. I plan on writing it before the start of preseason camp. But, you know, I always think about what does Georgia need to accomplish during preseason camp? What do they kind of have to get sorted out? Is there anything that stands out to you in that regard?
No, I mean, you know, I guess legalities. You gotta keep your nose clean. Ja Jackson was arrested since the last time we did the show. So you know, you gotta keep yourself out of trouble.
Oregano, I hear.
I don't know. I mean, I don't see there being any like major needs. I don't know. I mean, what do you have in mind? Like that might spark something in me.
Yeah, I mean, not just position battles, but like who looking at receiver, right? Like, yeah. I feel like you've got a top five of Colby Young. I always want to call him Ra-Ra Thomas, and I know he's not right. Noah Thomas, Zach Branch, Dylan Bell, and London Humphreys. I think that's your top five.
Okay.
Georgia's probably going to go it with anywhere from 6 to 8. So, you know, you think Sakovi White probably fits into that backup slot spot, but I feel like they probably want to use Dylan Bell there some too. You know, where do CJ Wiley and Talon Taylor fit in? Also, Thomas Blackshear is you know, done a pretty good job this summer since getting to campus. Can he in short order make it happen? Again, where do injuries fall in this whole thing? Because those amongst receivers and defensive backs, you're going to deal with some hamstrings, some groins, some quadriceps, some sore calf muscles, all that stuff. But I want to see the to-do list for me is to kind of find the guys you trust at every single position. And that even comes at quarterback, because Ryan Puglisi needs to kind of grow during preseason camp to not necessarily grab hold of that number two job, but become a number two that Georgia can feel really confident in. Because I think if Georgia – it changes the way Georgia plays if Ryan Puglisi has a really good – really good preseason camp, because not only does you know it change, you know, the way you kind of look at the quarterback position as a whole and you feel better about it, but if he has a great preseason camp, then you may see Gunnar Stockton then feel a little bit better about running Gunnar Stockton a little bit more and letting him kind of be a little bit more of a freelancer. So, you know, ultimately the identity that Georgia forms and the number of players it can trust when preseason camp ends, you know, affects the way it plays the game, period. And obviously, like I said, injuries plays a huge role in that. But you want to find as many guys as you can possibly can to trust. And it again, it changes how you perform in the fall or how you go into those first few games.
Yeah, and, you know, I guess outside of position battles in terms of, you know, trying to find guys you trust, to me there are two positions that really stand out as, like, who's going to emerge from this absolute thunderdome, and that's tight end and inside linebacker. To me, those two are very pronounced in I think you probably got a lot of guys you trust who's able to kind of grab the brass ring and assert themselves as the dude. I mean, I think that we both project that Oscar Delp will be right there, but where does Jaden Riddell fit into this thing, man? I mean, you know, Elias Williams is unlike anybody in that room that they have. So is there something in there for him? You know, and then I mentioned earlier on the inside linebackers, Chris Cole, Justin Williams, they're all going to be nipping at the heels here. I mean, you've got CJ Allen who, is been a stalwart for you. Raylan Wilson's played a lot of minutes. So is Chris Cole, too. But I think that this is an opportunity in this camp for maybe one of those two guys to step up, especially I feel like Justin Williams, a chance for him to kind of maybe come in and say, no, I'm the captain now.
I think outside linebacker is more intriguing because inside linebacker, they'll play four guys. You know, they will play four guys and not bat an eye. Tight end, you know, I see where you're coming from on that one. I still think Jaden Riddell is probably going to be significantly ahead of Elias Williams. And it's, you know.
Oh, sure. But, I mean, what about Lawson Lucky?
Yeah, I mean, I think Lucky and Delp are very much those top two. You know, like, I really believe that. But when you look at outside linebacker, you know, Quintavious Johnson had a great camp last year, and I know he's going to be a big factor there. How much outside backer does Gabe Harris play? Yep. Because when you look at Gabe Harris, I think he's going to be a hybrid D end outside linebacker. When we voted on our preseason All SEC teams, the SEC Media Days, he was listed with the linebackers. Gabe Harris was. Then Elo Madozi, everything great so far. Work ethic. Athleticism, all of that stuff. But you want to talk about taking things with a grain of salt, hasn't put on shoulder pads at Georgia yet. So there's a proving ground left for him when it comes to, hey, how are you going to match up with Monroe Freeling and Ernest Green and Bo Hughley and Ja Jackson, who's going to be on the team. I think that legal situation is going to get itself worked out. But, yeah, how is he going to stand up to all of that after playing the kind of guys he's played with at Army, which are just very different? You know, I'm sure they're super physical, but you don't have a bunch of 6'7", 330-pound offensive tackles at Army, you know, so that you're practicing against every day. So where does Elo Madozi fit there? Georgia had a lot of confidence in going after him, kind of making him a priority target out of the portal. So I think he's got to kind of prove them right on that, and I think finding out what he's all about, it should be on that to-do list as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think you would have to think that. You know, and another guy maybe in that hybrid, like you said, DN position, 5-star in his own right, Isaiah Gibson coming off of, this thing. Where does he kind of fit into that as well? I think Chris Cole is another guy. We talked about him in the inside linebacker room, but I expect some Jalen Walker-esque usage out of Chris Cole, you know, dropping into coverage or rushing the passer. I mean, he's not going to just be standing there holding the middle down for you, in my opinion.
No, he's a versatile player, and we've heard some stuff about him, how he has some natural pass rush to him, and he's also in more of a Quay Walker mold of a 6'3", you know, 6'3 plus linebacker that you know, gives you that outside linebacker look from a length and size standpoint, you know, kind of out there on the edge.
Hey, maybe you need some new shades, all right? The future's bright. It's almost tailgate time. Georgia football is returning. Go get some shades. You need them to get ready for your Saturdays out by the grill, out, you know, getting at the dog walk. Sunheist.com, the place to get them. 20% off using code DOGSHQ20, DAWGSHQ20. And the great thing about Sunheist, incredible customer service, incredible customization options. You can build a number of different frames with it. I mean, go back to that one. There were like there were like 30 different lenses you could put with that frame. So
yeah,
pretty much endless combinations when it comes to how you want to style your glasses. They're coming out with new styles all the time, free returns. So I understand, look, you're maybe a little hesitant, right? You don't want to buy a pair of glasses you hadn't tried on. Free returns, man. Get them, try them out, see if they're for you, and get 20% off using code DOGSHQ20. That works at sunheist.com. Great people, great product. As we've said before, we'd wear them even if they didn't pay us.
Support that Georgia-based business. Any chance you get, no doubt about it. And that's, you know, we're all about that. We're all about the local stuff and Sunheist folks. They're awesome. We love them.
More decisions are on deck, Jake Rowe. It's been a hot, hot summer when it comes to the recruiting trail, but Georgia is not done. They're not going to get out of this thing. Barely get preseason camp started before there's some other big-time names to watch.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, it's a couple of an announcement today that Brett Colaje is going to make his decision, and then you got Anthony Lana Jr. That's going to make his decision as well. And, I mean, listen, it's getting to the kind of the short rows of this class for Georgia. There aren't many decisions left. You know, I think, you know, if Georgia kind of gets the guys it wants here at the end, and we'll talk about those two guys specifically here in just a second. But if they, once these last decisions are made, I think you then you kind of jump into senior film evaluation and flip mode. Because Georgia's already got kind of such a big class already.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. Before we get into those names, though, MyPerfectFranchise.net. Look, if you're looking to expand your business life, and create a life for yourself that you're in charge, that's where MyPerfectFranchise.net comes in. They have a number of different franchises that they can connect you with and set you up for what makes most sense for your life. So if you're looking to take control of your business life, your finances, try something new. You want to get out of the corporate rat race, be your own boss, MyPerfectFranchise.net. That's what they do. They help connect you with these franchises, and the services are 100% free to you. They are compensated by the franchises themselves. They're looking for new investors. They're looking for new franchisees. So they're looking to bring you in. They use MyPerfectFranchise.net to connect all the pieces. So Andy Ludicky and the team over there, they can help you out. Get with MyPerfectFranchise.net today. You're looking to make some big changes.
No doubt about it. So you're the recruiting guru. You know everything there is to know about recruiting. I'm trying to build you up here. Brett Colaje, announcing August 1st, from what we understand. Where are we at here? What are we thinking?
I don't really – Georgia's in it. I do think that they're a factor. I just don't see them winning out in the end, personally. I'm not saying that they can't, but – it feels like that we've heard a lot about Miami throughout this entire race. That's kind of been the consistent other name in this one. And then I saw a note today from John Garcia that said that USC was rising very quickly in this one, which you know what that means. So, I will say
he's from Colorado. You know,
for sure. But, you know, I think Georgia is – I mean, I wouldn't count them out. I just don't know that I would project it being the case today. I think that they'd love to add the guy. I think that another offensive lineman would be a much welcomed addition to this class. I just don't know that Colaje is going to be that guy for them.
No, I would say USC, you know, Miami probably. I think this is more of a USC-Georgia battle right now, to be honest with you, based on what I've been able to gather. And I like him. I think he's a really good player, and I think Georgia felt really good about him coming out of his official visit. But ultimately, you know, listen, he took a visit to USC. USC has a great class going, the only team rated higher than Georgia as far as recruiting classes go. And the thing I do like about Brett Colaje is, you know, and you see it right here on this film, you've seen him guard a lot. Well, right there, he's at right tackle, playing right tackle at a you know, high clip and a high level. You see 6'5", 320-pound guards, and the first thing that kind of comes to mind is tackle length, tackle frame, versatility. You want as much of that as you can possibly get. And I think he brings that to the table. But I'm with you. I don't – rise of right this moment, Georgia's very much in it. I just don't think I would pick Georgia to land him. We'll see if they can make a move here in the last minute. Those things haven't worked out for Georgia. Georgia making the late moves. It worked for PJ Dean, you know, South Carolina morning of. It looked like it was going to be, you know, the Gamecocks. And then, you know, Georgia was able to kind of twist that one back in their direction. We'll see if they can kind of do the same here with Brett Coleje. But I think both of us are in agreement that Georgia would love to land him. And yeah, that he's a target that they certainly feel, you know, good about. And he's got a spot in this class.
I kind of think Georgia may go kind of the Dennis Uzichukwu route from last year. I think that they might find a guy kind of late in this cycle that they like, review some senior tape. I do think that they'll probably look to add another guy. What's the kid's name? Where is he? Tyler Chuckium, I believe is how you say his name. Definitely a guy to know down the line as well.
Yeah, yeah. Georgia's kind of moving on him, but hasn't necessarily offered yet. Jeremy had a good update for him over at Dogs HQ. And then now we've, you know, turned our attention to Anthony Lana Jr.
If you've been following the Dog Walk message board, Jake Rowe made a post the other day that basically said this kid does everything but serve hot dogs. I mean, he said, look, this is a guy who you can slot in at a number of different positions. And I'm not giving you a hard
told him that. They've told him that, and I believe them on that. Like, I agree. Normally when you hear a recruiting pitch like that, you think, oh, they told me I could play anywhere from a 3 to a 9 technique. And you see that and you're kind of like, nah, yeah, this is, you're just kind of trying to sell the kid on something, which I understand. It's part of it.
Sure.
And you don't know how the body's going to develop. You don't know any of that stuff. Well, they're recruiting him with Glenn Schumann, Chidera Uzodiribe, and Trey Scott. So when you've got multiple coaches kind of talking to him about doing multiple things, okay, I believe you. You're kind of putting your time and your money where your mouth is as far as, you know, the versatility you like about this guy. But, you know, something Rusty's pointed out numerous times, this guy just, you know, he thinks he's a running back for the other team because he just plays in the backfield all the time. Sure. He tries to line up there if he can, and he just lives back there. And I'm of this belief too. When you find guys that just constantly know how to win these one-on-one battles and get into the backfield, they tend to be pretty good players.
100%, man. This is exact. I could not agree with you more. And, you know, I think one of the guys that really comes to mind as a guy Georgia missed on and could have had, but had that same knack in high school and they just didn't pull the trigger, was Will Anderson.
Yeah.
He was a guy who showcased that time and time again. Will Anderson was not maybe the most physically dominant linebacker you'd ever seen in your life in terms of just his build. I mean, he's got a great frame, don't get me wrong, but he's not like, you know, that 6'4", 6'5" long outside linebacker pass rusher. You know, he was a little sawed off comparatively, but he was very, very disruptive. This guy, I couldn't agree with you more. You got to trust your eyes and trust what the tape says on this one. And that's that this guy just knows how to get to the backfield.
He knows how to win. He knows how to win blocks.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And I think, you know, one of the things that I really like about him, Jake, and it reminds me a little bit of Malik Herring. It's a deep pass rush box. He's got a number of moves. He doesn't have just one thing that you can neutralize. You see him getting off of blocks in a number of different ways. And I think that that is such an important thing for a guy to have. Oh, look, now look at that. Coming out of the backfield, running the guy down. I love that. I mean, just like I said, power right there. Just drove the guy back into it. I mean, but you need him to make a guy miss? Okay, sure, I can do that too. Whatever. I mean, he is versatile in that way. He's a Georgia legacy, which is super cool. He plays at Clark Central, which you know I love. So, I mean, there's just a lot working in this guy's favor. And look, I think that there was a chance that they would have taken him with James Johnson, but with James Johnson going to Texas, he makes all the sense in the world, in my opinion. Go take this guy and see what you got in him, because I think you got maybe a hell of a player. He rose into the top 300 after being previously unranked based on his tape.
Yeah, I don't think James Johnson's recruitment played into this very much at all. I think Georgia will continue to recruit Johnson, try to get him back on the commitment list. But no, this is to me, Anthony Lonan is or Lonan or however you say his name here, to me is the quintessential designated pass rusher on third down. You know, I think if he plays for Georgia, he wears number 88 at the high school level. You know, it's gonna, you know, draw some Jalen Carter comparisons if, you know, he comes to Georgia. But you're going to see this guy line up at nose or over a guard on third down and try to work upfield and get to the quarterback at some point in his Georgia career. You know, his first and second down position will probably be kind of more of a five technique, defensive end, four eye, where he'll kind of play the run and do all that kind of stuff. But I love his motor. I love his plays.
How far into this tape are we? Like what minute are we in? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, this, there's still clips of this guy getting into the backfield. Like, this is a lot of clips of this guy in the backfield, man.
Yeah, and the thing I like about it, too, is I don't know how good these offensive linemen are. Like, I don't know if he's playing against, you know, over and over again, guys that are going to, you know, play on Saturday and Sunday in the future. But I do see very big offensive linemen that he's kind of just extending out and shucking. You know, I mean, he's a guy, he's given up weight to a lot of these big dudes. And, you know, he just plays this game at a high level. He plays it the right way. He plays as hard as he possibly can. From a motor standpoint and just how hard he plays, and not, even from a frame standpoint too, there's some David Pollack to his game a little bit. And I'm not saying he's going to be a three-time All-American, but he's just so stinking physical that he does all those things. And, you know, I can see it right now. You know, people are like, man, you guys have talked about this kid for about 10 minutes now, and you wouldn't be doing that if he wasn't, you know, if Georgia wasn't favored. But it does really look like Georgia is trending for him. And we were talking about it whenever we thought, finally, the highlight tape ends. You know, it's one of the longest ones we've seen. But, you know, to me, this is a guy that we were saying when we didn't know if Georgia was going to take him or not, we actively said, if they don't, it's a mistake.
They should. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. I firmly believe that. I think this will end up being a really, really nice pickup for them if he chooses Georgia. And I think both of us right now think that he will.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's all we got, I think, for today's show for Monday to kick off the week. Hope everybody has a wonderful week. We appreciate our friends over at American Pride Bank, our friends at Sun Heist and My Perfect Franchise. It's going to be a long week. A lot to go over. Preseason camp starts. Decisions are coming. We've previewed all that for you today. And stay tuned to the site, because I'm sure there's going to be plenty going on throughout the week.
It's here. Almost.
It's here. Almost. Yeah. Almost. Football season is upon us. I think Rusty said it this past weekend. Last weekend was our last one without football for a very long time. So we're here. Let's enjoy it. Let's do what we got to do. And as always, we appreciate you guys for tuning in to the Georgia Show. Y'all take it easy.